and welcome to the Total Soccer Show. I am Taylor Rockwell. Daryl Grove is not joining me, as you could no doubt tell by the introduction. He is still in England, I assume still reeling from the shock news that Jose Mourinho has left slash been sacked by Manchester United. I was pretty surprised by that when I woke up this morning to several text messages, some of them conciliatory, most of them making fun of Manchester United. That's probably pretty fair. So my next action after reading all those texts and plotting my revenge was to message Carl Anka of The Athletic. He has been on the show before to discuss Manchester United. He covers Manchester United for The Athletic. And I wanted to hear his thoughts about the Mourinho departure, about what comes next, and about maybe what really actually needs to come next for Manchester United in terms of their backroom change-up and getting some new faces into the club. It's a very good conversation with some very good anecdotes from Carl. The Ryan Giggs one at Swansea is especially interesting slash disconcerting. So I will stop rambling and throw it over to me talking to Carl. So joining me now, I've got The Athletic's Carl Anka. Carl, you were on the show previously. I think we agreed that we'd have you back on if and when Jose Mourinho was no longer the coach of Manchester United. And here you are.
I know. It's early. I didn't expect this to happen so soon.
I'm really very happy. I'm really glad to hear you say that because, like, I think literally on yesterday's show, I was talking to Daryl about how the most depressing part of the loss to Liverpool was I kind of had this feeling going in that no matter what the result was, Jose Mourinho was still going to be there. He was going to be there until they were out of the Champions League. It turns out, I guess, the result that would get him fired was 3-1. So it's good to hear that you were also surprised by this news.
Yeah, it's weird that this is... I call it the David Moyes clause, because that's what got rid of David Moyes. It wasn't just the historically bad season Moyes had in charge of Manchester United, but it was that supposed clause in his contract that said the moment Champions League football is no longer mathematically impossible, you're gone, which was quite similar to how Van Gaal was released. It was they finished fifth and the FA Cup wasn't enough to save him. And we all sort of just viewed Ed Woodward, businessman brain, but not football man brain, to be happy to write another season off. But lo and behold, it took a 3-1 defeat to two of your biggest rivals who are now reaping the rewards of just fantastic long-term planning to make Manchester United go, oh, maybe we should be doing that.
Actually, I wanted to ask you about that because you mentioned that last time that it felt like Mourinho was an issue, but also the way United has been run has been an issue. Do you feel like this could lead to anything, or does this feel more so like maybe Ed Woodward is just sort of seeing the writing on the wall and thinking, I've got to do something so that I can continue to have a job?
I think it's both. I think there's a multi-pronged problem at Manchester United. So you've got owners in the Glazers who are not particularly interested in the footballing product. They're very much, you know, Manchester United, we bought Manchester United for commercial reasons and we continue to benefit commercially from owning Manchester United, so we don't care. You've got Ed Woodward, who is, you know, succeeded David Gill and by all accounts is not a footballing man. It feels mean to say that because it's very hard to quantify what a footballing man is, but Ed Woodward His expertise are finding a mattress dealer for Manchester United, or finding a soft drink partner in Nigeria, or finding an engine cleaning partner in Ecuador. That's his expertise, and that's fine. That's good.
I was just going to say he's reflective of the Glazers' like commercial reasons for owning the club.
And
that makes sense.
Ed Woodward reports to no one other than to the Glazer family, and he's not particularly footballing inclined right now. And Mourinho is, I don't want to say not footballing inclined. I'd say he's not up to speed with footballing trends. I think his style of football is no longer fit for purpose at top clubs in Europe. And also, Mourinho didn't care about Manchester United, which, you know, I think once you talk about Mourinho's footballing heritage, how he constantly refers to the three when he's won three Premier League titles at Chelsea, or the three he gave up to Juventus about the treble he won at Inter Milan. Mourinho cares about Jose Mourinho, not Manchester United. And therefore, of the three-pronged problem of the owners aren't good enough, your chief executive isn't good enough, and your football manager isn't good enough, you have to fix one of them to salvage whatever's going to happen in the immediate future of Manchester United. And I think of that three, fixing the managers is the best bet. You know, now there are conversations now about how United are looking to hire a director of football. and that should hopefully solve problem two, which is Ed Woodward's not being a footballing man. And as for problem one, the Glazer ownership, there's massive rumor about possible Saudi Arabian private investment, mm-hmm. which has me feeling a type of way.
That's really well said. That is the best way I can think to say that.
But firing Mourinho is not going to be the be-all and end-all to fixing Manchester United.
Yeah, I would agree
with
that.
It is the best way to make sure Manchester United come 2020 is in a better state. Because a lot of this, the consensus now was the reason Mourinho's been fired now is because the January transfer window was approaching and a lot of valued assets at Manchester United were reluctant to sign new contracts. They were more or less going, I'm not going to commit to this club anymore if Mourinho is going to be in charge.
And so for you covering the team and then as a fan as well, so what would be your expectations for this January? Are you hoping for an interim manager and then maybe just everybody stays, no arrivals? Or are you hoping for something a bit more than that?
So everything is subject to change right now. I just filed for The Athletic and it hopefully will be out in a bit. So the idea is Michael Carrick is taking control of training this week. External interim manager will be put in place by Friday, who will be in charge until the end of the season. When I filed, the leading candidate was Laurent Blanc. Mm-hmm. It is now looking like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has surpassed him and will be the interim till the end of the season. The interesting thing there is this, more or less, this entire season is following what happened to Chelsea.
It is.
So this is the same thing. So, you know, Mourinho has his third season. He gets into fights with everyone. Nemanja Matic performance falls off a cliff.
Yep.
You've got a French speaking best player. You know, your best player is only got snatches of performance. So for Paul Pogba, Reed Eden Hazard. There's current talk. There's like a big split in the fans about who's the possible rat and who is playing for the club. Again, much like Mourinho's third season at Chelsea. And then Chelsea's method for that was basically, let's just get someone in to calm everyone down until the end of the season. And then we'll go get the big manager after that. So Chelsea got Gus Hiddinkum, took them from 16th to 10th. They had a okay second half of the season. And then they went off and got Antonio Conte. And then they won the league. And then now they're, you know, in the state they currently are. Chelsea are a bit better in recovery because they do have a technical director. They do have the system that Manchester United don't have. But I think that's what United are trying to do now, is they're basically going to know who's going to be our Gus Hiddink for the end of this season.
Let's actually go that route and then we'll come back to Solskjaer and Blanc and everybody else. So with the director of football position, what is the latest there? What are the names being linked?
There are none. And this is the worrying thing. So they announced in August this year that they were looking for a director of football. The most interesting director of football to be linked to them was Monchi, the former Sevilla chief, who was, you know, part of that fantastic. According to him, he had more or less had a massive spreadsheet of all these great players in Europe, how to bring him in. He very famously tells a story about how Ivan Rakitic came to Sevilla. They had a wonderful meeting. Monchi went, "Yeah, join this club, fantastic." Rakitic went, maybe not. And then they took him to a coffee shop in Seville a bit later on. And that was where Rakitic met his wife. And then he went, all right, I'll sign. Because that's his great sort of story about, one, player recruitment. It is nice to have a massive spreadsheet. But two, you sometimes need to get lucky.
Yeah.
So he's currently at Roma at the moment. And he said he doesn't really want to leave to go to England. There was Marotta, who left Juventus in September this year. And he looked very likely. Well, he was the dream to bring into Manchester United. But he's just joined Inter Milan this December as their CEO. There is no one. There is no one currently being rumored. There are no big names of people who are currently available and willing to join Manchester United in director of football. I don't think a director of football will be installed until the summer, because this is an incredibly hard thing to do. And it's one of those jobs that if you're good at it, you're probably already where you need to be. Bear in mind that when Manchester City wanted to get a director of football and people to take care of recruitment. They just simply went off and got Barcelona's. Mm-hmm. And Arsenal, when they decided they're going to replace Wenger, they went off and got two men from Borussia Dortmund, including Sven Mislintat. This is the lucky thing about Manchester United is, even though they're devoid of ideas, they have a large checkbook. Mm-hmm. So I don't expect anything to happen immediately, but I expect what does happen to be very expensive.
Now, I understand, like, and listeners understand that I'm probably asking this as a fan and maybe being slightly hopeful slash optimistic, but another question for you, Carl, then, is I feel like so much of United's business, maybe just because of Ed Woodward not having the background in football, I don't know, but it's been very public. We kind of always know who they're linked with. There have been very few surprise signings. I contrast that with, like, the Sir Alex Ferguson era when, like, Anderson and Nani were just announced one day and they were just here all of a sudden. And it does feel like things have been so public. Do you think there's a chance that some of these conversations are happening and they're just doing a better job of keeping them quiet? Or do you think it is just more so business as usual, they're going to keep like approaching everybody and it's going to keep getting reported on?
I think I think a lot of the work that Manchester United does is made vocal because Manchester United want headlines. Mm-hmm. It is in the commercial interest of Manchester United to be seen to be spending money.
Ah.
Yes, that is the correct reaction. It is in Manchester United's interest and of the interest of senior people in Manchester United for them to be seen to be a European heavyweight. And if you can't do it via what you're doing on the pitch, you have to do it via monetary flexes and whatnot.
Yeah, to paraphrase Tywin Lannister, if you have to keep telling everybody European heavyweight, then maybe you're not a European heavyweight. Is that maybe the gist of it? Maybe just stop talking about it and do it?
Yes, absolutely. I think Ed Woodward likes being linked. I think Ed Woodward likes it when Manchester United are being linked to managers like Pochettino. I think he enjoys it when Manchester United's name is put on the European Super League. I think he likes it when Old Trafford is being linked to hosting the Champions League final in whatever year, because it keeps Manchester United in people's minds. And at a time when Manchester United are sixth place, closer to having conceded more goals than Huddersfield, mm-hmm. I think that's the best Ed Woodward can do right now.
And so let's talk about Ed Woodward then for a moment. Is there a chance, like, do you think his position is under any threat, or do you think, given what he's done commercially, the Glazers are more than okay with everything that's happening as it is?
He should be under serious questioning from his employers. There should be some very serious questions from the Glazer family. The Glazer family should be going, we supported Van Gaal to the tune of 250 million. We supported Mourinho to the tune of 400 million. Regardless of how much money we're currently bringing in, that's a substantial amount of money. And there is absolutely, we're nowhere near challenging for the title. We're nowhere near challenging for the Champions League. What are you doing? But I don't believe the Glazers care. I believe the Glazers are going, yep, there's enough money coming in and enough money going out. And you've managed to find a way of, I think there's a very infamous quote where Ed Woodward said the ultimate goal is to get Manchester United to a place where on-pitch performance doesn't affect off-pitch profit. And to an extent, he's proven that. To an extent, far more so than any other club, Manchester United have managed to absorb the hit of not qualifying for the Champions League. And I think that's probably going to keep Woodward in a job. And if Woodward gets, and I think this is also what kept Mourinho in a job, because Woodward didn't want to fire Mourinho last season because Woodward didn't want to get a reputation of being this sort of bumbling, not football man. If Woodward gets the correct director of football in and then can firmly move his responsibilities onto business, well, he'll stay at Manchester United for a very long time. And I also think most people attached or surrounding Manchester United will be happy with that because Ed Woodward is good at what he's good at. It's just identifying what a good centre-back is not one of them.
More from my conversation with Carl in just a moment, but first I wanted to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos all commission-free. Manchester United seem to be dumping all of their Jose Mourinho stock. I wouldn't necessarily recommend going after that one, but for other, perhaps more enticing stocks, Robinhood can help you out. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees, so you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. That's very nice. That would probably appeal to Ed Woodward. So, Ed, if you're listening, Robinhood is there for you. And they make life easier. So, if, say, you now have to go out and do a massive managerial search, but also a director of football search. Maybe you don't have so much time to monitor your portfolio. That's why Robinhood is there, to make the process that much simpler. But they also make it very easy for you. Ed Woodward might appreciate that as well. Easy to understand charts and market data, so you can place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. Best of all, Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock, like Apple, Ford, or Sprint, to help build your portfolio. So sign up at soccer.robinhood.com. That's soccer.robinhood.com. Thank you to Robinhood once again for sponsoring today's episode. Now back to my chat with Carl. All right, well, let's talk about the man who is maybe most likely to be getting that gig of identifying which center backs to play in which game. So you said you think it's going to be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. What has he been up to since Cardiff? Because that was kind of, I think, a lot of people thought, oh, he's the heir apparent. I feel like there have been a lot of heir apparents when it comes to managing Manchester United. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was one of them. It seems like he will be once again. So what has he been doing?
He went back to Norway. He went back to Molde. He's had a less successful second spell at the club where he won the Norwegian League. But he is good. He knows Manchester United in and out, and by all accounts, he is a friendly, personable person who understands the bizarre intra-club politics that go on at Old Trafford and Carrington. And much like Gus Hiddink at Chelsea, it's less important that Gunnar Solskjaer comes over and gets everyone doing gegenpressing or Diego Simeone off the ball 4-4-2, and it's more important that he basically gets Paul Pogba happy.
Is that maybe why he is now the favorite instead of, say, Laurent Blanc?
Possibly. I believe Blanc hasn't been in work since 2016, since he left Paris Saint-Germain. And while he was the front runner in the morning in the UK, he may have said that he doesn't want to be there for an interim basis. But I believe that's also what's discounted Antonio Conte from any immediate succession, because Conte wants to be in charge of transfers and he wants a long-term contract. And essentially now it's reached a point where the club officials at Manchester United realize that just giving the keys to anyone on a 5-year contract is folly. You need total root and branch reform.
And do you think that's maybe why Ryan Giggs hasn't been linked with the position? Because I would assume, given that he's currently Wales' manager, he would probably want something more long-term. Maybe they're not prepared to do that right now, so instead they look to the short-term options.
Absolutely. Also, Ryan Giggs, by all accounts, was not the successor that some had made out to be. There's been numerous stories of his less-than-stellar team talks when he was at Manchester United. And the one story I'll tell you, have I told you the Ryan Giggs story at Swansea?
I don't believe so. So let's have it.
Right. Okay. So when Swansea hired your man, Bob Bradley. Yes. So Bob Bradley was the third candidate for the Swansea job when he was initially hired. But what he did to win over Swansea staff was he gave them essentially one of the best coaching presentations they'd seen. He said, thank you for your interview. I've answered all your questions. However, I understand you've got a game against Arsenal on Saturday, and I just want to give you a look at how I would prepare for this game. He gave a very detailed tactical debrief of Arsenal's weaknesses, of Arsenal's strengths, of how he'd use Swansea's current personnel to line up against them, on how we'd line up set-piece routines and whatnot. It was one of the most detailed presentations given by someone not in a job. Conversely, when Ryan Giggs went for his interview at Swansea, the Swansea staff said, "Hi, Ryan, we're in the middle of a relegation battle right now. How would you get Swansea players to G up more?" And Ryan Giggs said words to the effect of, "I'd ask them to run harder."
All right. Well, did anyone no one thought of that previously? Is it possible that no one at Swansea had said you should probably run harder?
Apparently not.
Okay.
Why I wouldn't particularly want a Roy Keane or a Simeone in charge of Manchester United at the moment is that this is a team that has a lot of these so-called millennial footballers and has a lot of players that require a degree of emotional intelligence when it comes to managing them. This is why Zinedine Zidane, while there are question marks over his tactical nous, could be an interesting manager for Manchester United, because more so than anyone else or any other large club in Europe, the priority at Manchester United is, can you get these five or six very, very talented Adidas affiliated or Nike affiliated players of the future happy? Mm-hmm. Can you keep Paul Pogba happy?
Actually, quick aside there, now that you mentioned that, do you think like the commercial aspect of Manchester United comes back to bite them a little bit? Like, do you think there is a chance that they hear from Adidas that Adidas aren't particularly pleased with the way things are going? And does that factor into the decisions, or is that not a relationship that's allowed to exist?
I don't think that's on the club. I think that is perhaps on the player on a personal level. From what, by all accounts, Paul Pogba wants to be known as one of the best players in the world. It is in Paul Pogba wants to be a Ballon d'Or nominee. Paul Pogba won the World Cup as essentially a de facto captain. And he did not play in one of the biggest matches of Manchester United season because Marouane Fellaini, Nemanja Matic and Ander Herrera were on the pitch. Mm-hmm. I think it's less Adidas phoning up Manchester United and going, what are you playing at? And more Paul Pogba going, why am I here?
I mean,
and I think that causes problems with Manchester United. That causes the problem with Manchester United. Not Adidas making the phone call, but Paul Pogba going, this is a waste of my time.
And with that in mind, it's worth noting, it has since been corrected that his Instagram post earlier today, that was like a pre-agreed upon sponsored content post, right? That wasn't him throwing shade at Mourinho?
Let's say there's so much smoke there. I'm going to assume there was a fire.
Okay.
The post that went out was one of Paul Pogba throwing up. I'd just call it a smirk.
Yep.
With the tagline was caption this. Mm-hmm. It was tagged in with Adidas and here to create hashtag, which are the branded requirements for a sponsored post or a cross promotional post with Adidas. Which leads me to believe it was initially a scheduled post. However, if you are Paul Pogba, you should surely have enough presence of mind mm-hmm. to make sure that is taken down before it goes up. I don't know, you know, there. I did find it particularly funny that Gary Neville immediately responded saying, do one, and that Pogba can leave as well. What I will say is that this is what Mourinho does. This is what Mourinho does to in the third season. In the third season of Real Madrid fans were believing Iker Casillas to be a snake and wanted him gone. In his third season at Chelsea fans unfurled a banner saying three rats, Diego Costa, Eden Hazard and Cesc Fabregas. It is now the third season at Manchester United, and now you've got Gary Neville saying Paul Pogba can do one. Mm-hmm. Mourinho's management style creates an us versus them tactic, and it can also create this very odd scenario where a man who does not truly believe in the club or the institution he's at gets you to attack the club's best players because he's got you thinking they don't care enough about the club.
So then what do you think the issue is then with Paul Pogba? Because, I mean, I've heard lots of people talk about like how you've got Mourinho needs to make him happy. Mourinho needs to get the best out of him. Mourinho needs to get him playing well. Like, what do you think has been the obstacle there? Has it just been that he's being told to play a position he wants? Is it that he's not playing at all? Is it that he's being made to be the scapegoat? There was the virus quote. I keep going back to, I don't fully understand with the skill set he has, the intelligence he has, the physicality he has, why it's such a challenge to get him into a position where he seems comfortable and seems happy.
I think it's twofold. One, he's playing under a manager who doesn't have the necessary emotional intelligence to get the best out of him. Mm-hmm. Paul Pogba's best is playing under Didier Deschamps. Deschamps is not a tactical genius, but when he won the World Cup in 1998, he was regarded as a water carrier for Zinedine Zidane. Deschamps is unflashy and is always willing to put the needs of the many before the needs of himself. And it's no coincidence that him managing Pogba, giving Pogba all the hugs and talks and the Steve Kerr style, these are your stats, this is what it means, but don't worry, I have faith in you, gets the best out of Paul Pogba. Number two, Paul Pogba won a World Cup with N'Golo Kante next to him. Mm-hmm. Paul Pogba goes to his club and his midfield partners are Nemanja Matic, who is currently in a career worst funk, Marouane Fellaini, who is a limited central midfield partner, Ander Herrera, sometimes if he's lucky, who is Ander Herrera is best suited to being a part three, and Fred, who is an unknown quantity. Mm-hmm. Yes, just because Paul Pogba can do everything doesn't mean you should expect him to do everything. And I think along the problem for Manchester United and Paul Pogba right now is he is their chief creative hub in a side that can't create too much. And then he's also being scapegoated for basically trying to enjoy his life. This is very similar to what was going on at Eden Hazard in his third season. Eden Hazard didn't automatically become a bad player overnight. Just Eden Hazard's looking at the team going, really? I have to do everything? And you contrast Eden Hazard's performances in Belgium under Marc Wilmots and Roberto Martinez, two managers not said to be particularly tactically erudite, but were put in place by Belgium because of their ability to get a melting pot style changing room to coalesce. Paul Pogba prefers managers that understand what he's talking about, not managers that are going to yell at him and call him a virus. And I think that's it shouldn't be that hard to understand that a lot of these younger players, and I say younger because this past World Cup was the first World Cup where most of the players were younger than I am, where a lot of these players are going, no, I don't want to play under a manager that yells at me all the time.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting you mentioned, like, going back to the Deschamps point for a second about being like sort of happy to be the water carrier. That is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, interestingly enough. He made a career off of putting the needs of others ahead of his own. That basically was his role for Manchester United, was be the super sub. So it then makes a little bit more sense to me why he would be the person most strongly linked with that interim position, because it does feel like he is a person who can come in and kind of not necessarily worry about his own ego and putting up three fingers, but more about kind of like caring about the club, I guess, if such a thing still exists. So suddenly that decision starts to make more sense to me in a way that it definitely did not at the beginning of this conversation.
Oh, yeah. He's already been on Manchester MUTV mm-hmm. talking about how Solskjaer's already been talking about how basically he'd love to work with Paul Pogba, which, good. the fixture list is particularly favourable to Manchester United. So up until their 13th of January clash against Tottenham Hotspur, the hardest game they've got is Bournemouth, I believe. So it's something like Cardiff, Bournemouth, Huddersfield, and then Reading in the FA Cup. Whoever comes in right now is going to have a really nice run of fixtures to go, boys, remember how football was nice?
Oh, man. All right. So that's set up for him to do okay, it seems like.
Yeah. Again, to contrast it with Chelsea back when Mourinho was fired, Gus Hiddink took Chelsea on a 15-game unbeaten run after he replaced Mourinho. It is amazing how Manchester United went, all right, well, we had the third-season blow-up that Chelsea did. How do we have the third-season recovery? So maybe Antonio Conte will be in charge of Manchester United come 2019-2020.
That you made it all happy, and then you made it sad again at the end there. So if you were to guess right now, who do you think, not necessarily will be the one most strongly linked because tabloids are tabloids, but who do you think, if you were Manchester United, who do you think they're looking at as this is a person who can come in, like, steady the ship, keep our profile the way we want it to be, but play the type of soccer that we need to be able to play to satisfy fans?
The Times of London is reporting that Pochettino is the preferred candidate. He's the number one man. His body of work at Tottenham Hotspur speaks for itself. He took the club with the sixth highest wage bill in England and has turned them into a top four ever-present. He's managed to do it. He's got Spurs into third place this season. I believe. I think Spurs are third. Mm-hmm. He's taken Spurs to the top four this season, despite the fact they've got a net spend of negative 23. Negative 23? He would be the interesting thing is he would probably not be the ideal candidate for Manchester United. I think he is perhaps better suited to going to Barcelona, more so than any of the European super heavyweights that want him. He's been linked to Real Madrid. He's been linked to Barcelona. He's been linked to Paris Saint-Germain. Also, there's no good reason for him to leave Tottenham Hotspur. He's just signed a new five-year contract that'll take him to 2023. Swapping White Hart Lane for Old Trafford doesn't quite make sense. But I know that's what Manchester United really want. Zidane, for reasons, would be interesting. I think he could very much be the arm around the shoulder, short-term fix. But if United want to build a legacy, and like a truly, this is the next 5 years with no more messing around. Unfortunately, there aren't many great candidates. I would particularly like Jardim from Monaco, the former Monaco manager. Hmm. While he left Monaco under a bit of a cloud in November this year, now being succeeded by Thierry Henry, I think that has to do a lot more with just the fact that Monaco's squad has been stripped bare.
Yeah.
And is going through a massive injury crisis rather than Jardim being a bad manager. He's 44 years of age, able to play pragmatic defensive football. If you remember the Champions League tie when Monaco bested Arsenal, that was Jardim in charge with Dimitar Berbatov, and they played fairly pragmatic football there. So, and you contrast that with Monaco's run to the Champions League semi-final with Mbappe and the high-octane football he eventually got them to play, then you can see sort of what a future Manchester United could have. That guy, he can play defensive football, he can play attacking football. Due to his spell at Monaco, he understands the relevance of blooding youth. He would be my ideal candidate. But as I say, I think everything is, in regards to a manager, is slightly irrelevant until a director of football comes in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need a multi-pronged solution to a multi-pronged problem.
So that was going to be my final question for you. If there are Man United fans out there looking for happy signs and warning signs, I don't know what the opposite of a warning sign is. I guess it's probably just no sign. What would be the best look for 6 months from now versus the worst look? So I'm assuming the best look would be a director of football, a younger coach on a maybe not 5-year deal, and the worst one would be no director of football, and I don't know. I'm trying to think of who like Louis van Gaal coming back or something like that. Like what would be your best and worst case scenarios?
Well, the interesting thing is David Moyes is still on the contract.
Yeah, he is.
And also the interesting thing there is Marouane Fellaini and Juan Mata have probably been United's best signing since Ferguson left. So they're two David Moyes signings. Maybe we were a bit hasty. No, I'm joking. A best case scenario.
I was not going along with you on that one.
Best case scenario is we do get the director of football. Mm-hmm. I don't know who, but I'd like to see Manchester United take the method that Arsenal took when they replaced Wenger in sort of you get a head of recruitment, you get ahead of footballing operations, and then you get a manager. So then you have three people constantly working at all times for the next season. Worst case scenario is Paul Pogba says he wants to go in summer and he leaves. Along with that, Anthony Martial decides he wants to run down his contract, which has just been extended by an extra year, along with David De Gea. And then you lose more or less a very interesting spine of your team.
Yeah, that goes back to your article you wrote for The Athletic about the potential core of the team in the future, right?
Yeah, so the interesting thing about Manchester United is a lot of these players run out their contract time by June 30th, 2020. Mm-hmm. And now we've more or less considered this season a write-off and next season is going to be the first season of whoever's new. It is becoming very important we get all of these players signed up to new contracts and happy with Old Trafford for 2020 and beyond. Get the interim manager in now, get them to sign contracts for 2-3 year extensions, and then we can see what happens going forward. I think the worst case scenario is we learn nothing, is that we just go straight into, I say we, as Manchester United, go straight into to hiring another super manager, be it Antonio Conte or Zinedine Zidane, without going out to get the director of football around him. I think there are far too many very talented people affiliated with Manchester United, not currently at Manchester United. In the same way that when Arsenal were having their fall, you had Patrick Vieira at Manchester City, you had Arteta at Manchester City, you had Thierry Henry on television, you had a number of really, really gifted people who have history of Arsenal, not at Arsenal. I think that's happening to Manchester United as well. It'd be nice if Gary Neville could be brought into the fold as some sort of consultant, or... Well, no, not so much Roy Keane. He's kind of mean.
Yeah, I'm okay with Roy Keane staying where he is. He's an angry fella. But actually, final question for you. Were you surprised that Gary Neville wasn't linked with the gig? Because, I mean, you know, he has the coaching background, such as it was. I was surprised that maybe he didn't get a look for the interim job, although maybe the social media feuding with Pogba factors in there as well.
I believe the do one sort of nixed any potential reconciliation there.
There we are. All right, well, Carl Anka, thank you so much for taking the time. I don't want to take up any more of your, I'm assuming, celebratory time. Is that the next plan? Are you going out to revel?
This is my early Christmas gift.
All right, well, then I will not keep you from your early Christmas gift any longer. But, Carl, thank you. And when the next big news regarding Manchester United breaks, we will reach out once again.
Fantastic. It's been a pleasure.